Cunha.
Welcome, everyone, to Expat Hoops, the podcast where we talk to Americans who have played basketball overseas. Today, we talk to Atlantic City's own Frank Turner. He attended Canisius in upstate New York from 2006 to 2010 and then began his career overseas, starting in the Netherlands and landing at his most recent location of Macedonia.
Before we talk to Frank, I want to remind you to subscribe to our channel and hit the bell so you'd be notified every time we have new content. Now, if you'll join Tony and I in welcoming Frank to Expat Hoops, welcome to the show, Frank.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate the both of you.
Yeah, well, thanks for sitting down with us. We'll talk a little bit about your college career. Obviously, played a lot of games. I believe at one point you were, I think even heading into your senior season, you might have actually been the most games played in Canisius history. Finished off as the captain. Take us through a couple highlights through your college career.
Oh, man, it seems like it was so long ago. What is that, 16 years? But the highlights, I would probably say my freshman year, being co-rookie of the year in the MAC. It was real interesting that freshman year. I learned a lot. You know, I came to Canisius. I wasn't starting at the beginning. You know, they really made me earn, you know, my chips there. So I think within four games, I began to start. And from there, I just took off. It just seemed like everything was flowing. I was fortunate enough to have four seniors. So it kind of made the game much easier as a freshman with having four key seniors. Sophomore year was a huge struggle. We lost our seniors. We lost two junior college transfers. And I believe, I'm going to say top 10 youngest teams. I don't want to say top five, even though I believe that. We was top 10 youngest teams in the nation, and it was a bit of a struggle. Maybe four or five games won. But we learned a lot through those struggles. In my junior year, we got a little better. I can't remember the record, but then my senior year, we ended up exchanging two coaches, and I think we was maybe four games over 500. And I don't know if this is a highlight, but I just remember my last game, we played in a MAC tournament, and we was down maybe 12, 15 points against Fairfield, and we made a huge run. And as I made a layup, I turned to fake as if I was running back on defense. And it seems as if I hit one of the players in his groin area, and I was ejected for it. That was the last game of my career. So, Oof. Yeah, and I was never known to be a dirty player, never did anything bad, anything in college. And that's how my college career ended. It was unfortunate, but, you know, those 4 years were very pivotal to, you know, my 12 years of being a professional basketball player.
That's actually what I was going to say when you're talking about early on and you went through some of the struggles, not only that you didn't start necessarily right away. And like you said, that, you know, you lost a lot of people and that it was a young team. Do you think that those experiences prepared you well for your overseas career and some of the things that you had to adapt to, basically?
For sure. I had to grow up fast being the point guard on the team as a freshman. So learning, you know, that things weren't just going to come to me. You know, coming from high school, you're obviously the man at your high school. So that was the first step of just learning that, you know, nothing's given. You have to earn everything. And then going through the struggle of being young and not winning games, it just makes you want things more. You got to work harder. You know, that struggle is – I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, for real, but – it definitely helped me become a better player as a professional.
With that in mind, you spent your career at Canisius. There, the MAC isn't necessarily known as a conference where a whole lot of professional basketball players come from. What was that like how did you decide to get pro? How did you end up down that path?
My senior year, I was myself and another player, Chris Gatley. He was about 6'9". He had so much potential, but He was just overweight. And my coach pulled us in the office one day and said, you two are going to be the engine to the team. And he said to us, if you want to play professionally, you know, treat this year as a professional. Work hard, come in the gym before and after. And, you know, he just opened my eyes to being a professional. And my coach introduced me to my first agent at the time. And I'm not sure if he represented my coach or one of his players before. And from there, that's when everything started for me.
And so what was that like getting your first professional job? Was it something that came a little bit easier once you got through that process? You started in the Netherlands, so you had about 2 years there at the beginning of your career.
Yeah, it didn't really hit me until about, I want to say, the end of my first year. You know, it hits you obviously when you're leaving family and you realize you're going to be alone for 8 to 9 months. But I guess the whole being a pro thing, it really didn't settle in until towards the end of the year. And they gave me the contract to come back. And, you know, it was very exciting for me to see how my teammates reacted. So that's when it really clicked in for me. And then I knew that this just wasn't going to be something for fun. It was really going to be, you know, my job.
You've spent 2 years, I guess, with the first club, right? And that you were saying that it's not common that you get a lot of 2 year contracts to begin with. And so it sounds like that was a, you know, 1 year deal. And I don't know if we've actually talked to anybody yet that is gone back to the same place. And I think you kind of talked about it there. It's a little interesting if you could get more into it with how your teammates reacted to the fact that Frank's coming back. This is great.
It's crazy because within 11 years, I've played in the Netherlands for 2 years and I played in Germany for 2 years. And it was kind of like the same reaction. I won a championship in the Netherlands and I won a championship in Germany. So, you know, to see that reaction from the teammates is just like, it's fulfilling because you know you're wanted there. Your teammates are excited. And you could tell like that chemistry we had showed why we were a championship team. So, you know, just getting that push and that backing from my teammates, you know, it really helped. And those are, I would say, for sure, two of my five favorite teams in Europe, for sure.
And I mean, not to put words in your mouth, but probably to try to do almost exactly that. It's got to be something, like you said, you know, when you go overseas for the first time, unless you've traveled extensively overseas before your pro career, that might be your first time abroad. You know, you're going to meet people from, you know, another side of the world, and you're away from your family and everything like that. And, you know, to basically be welcomed by your teammates like that and for them to celebrate your success with you, that's gotta be a special feeling, especially early on where you might be homesick.
Yeah, for sure. Because like you said, you're going to another country. Normally the guys that's from the country that's on the team, they've probably been friends or they were childhood friends. They know each other for so long. So now you come there and I think I was with two Americans at that point. So the other two Americans weren't coming back the next year. So now to be accepted from, you know, a bunch of guys, maybe I think it was about six or seven core guys, it's helpful because now you know these guys really want me here. Now I'm a part of something that could be special. And, you know, it's a language barrier. So sometimes you may not understand if they're talking about you, if it's good, if it's bad, you just never know. So that day, I still remember that day in the locker room, man. You know, it was after a game, after a big win, and everybody was excited. They threw water on me as if we won a championship, but it was just a regular game. So that felt good. And that next season was the season we won our championship.
Tony, you want to ask about Poland?
If I must, because, you know, we have had a complicated relationship with the time in which many of the players have played in Polish basketball. And I was wondering, about your particular experience.
He's already laughing.
Yeah, here we go. This is you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Like the travel.
I probably know. It's the travel is pretty ridiculous.
Tell us your story. Come on, let's hear it.
It's crazy because socially, Poland was the best time of my life socially. Even better than college. And college is normally the best years of your life. But socially, it was so much there as far as, you know, partying, having things to do, because the city I lived in was considered at that point Hollywood of Poland. The season itself was crazy because we started off, I think 11-0. It was traditionally a good team. And then my coach, we played in Euro Cup that year. My coach was Zan Tabak, well known in Europe, a seven footer teaching me how to come off the pick and roll, was my toughest coach, but I would say I learned the most from him. But I would say 4 games within Euro Cup, he exchanged teams. So we stayed level. And we finished maybe, I think, 2nd place. We were still top team, and we ended up getting swept in Poland. So basketball-wise, I learned a lot there. That was pretty much the takeoff here for me with basketball. But I really don't have a lot to say bad about Poland. I'd rather not say certain things because I don't want to, you know, speak on that.
I do want to say that whatever you have to say has probably already been said on this podcast. So just keep that in mind. But I respect your choice for sure.
Yeah, it's more positive. Because the people over there, it was good people there. You know, I don't want to make it seem like everybody was bad, but you know.
I don't either. I try not to. It ends up being that, you know, people go over there and the travel between the cities, you know, the bus rides for 10 hours and stuff like that,
ends up
really dragging down the experience for everybody, you know?
Yeah, that I think the longest trip we had was 10 hours.
Oh, that's about half of our
work. Wasn't joking when I said 10 hour bus ride.
Yeah, it was literally 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it snowed a lot there too, so.
And I think that kind of the takeaway that we have from Poland is that it might be one of the countries overseas in terms of basketball that has some of the most potential. It does seem like people genuinely enjoy their time there, other than a few things that are correctable.
It's a great place to live. And frankly, it seems to a lot of people, it's a great place to play basketball because there's a lot of talent that goes there. And there are a lot of teams that do have a great deal of success in EuroLeague in general, but it's just, you know, When you're on a bus for 10 hours between cities, it's difficult to play.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult. That trip, and what's crazy is we won that game, tough road game, one of the top teams there. But the traveling with the snow, which made it longer, and them not having major roads, I'm not sure if they do now. I'm pretty sure they don't. It's not just going to change that quickly, but. Yeah, it was a couple small things that could be fixed, but I'm sure it's just not in Poland where, you know, people deal with the money issues, but.
Mm-hmm.
Which that is not unique to Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure other people had that issue.
Oh,
there.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
We've had stories from at least like 2/3 of the people that have been on this podcast about not getting paid on time or not, in some cases, not getting paid at all. And waiting years to go through court processes to find money and stuff like that.
And that also doesn't seem to be country specific either.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not, because the team definitely, they got the money to us when they could. And, you know, that was definitely the first experience with, because everything was on time in the Netherlands. And then going to Poland, it kind of made me and shaped me into who I am. And, you know, as for my career, being an underdog, smaller guy, having to work for everything, it just made me tougher at this time because you're working every day, you're not getting paid on time and sometimes extra late. And it's, you know, it just makes you say like, okay, well, let's just grind this out, get out of here and you know, just try to get into something better. It makes you work to try to get that, you know, that better contract for the next year.
Well, the next year you went to Belgium, which is a good league. Yeah. So talk about your experience in Belgium and I guess compare and contrast that with what you'd had previously and maybe even afterwards as well.
Yeah, Belgium was very solid also. I loved living there. That was my favorite place to live. I lived in Antwerpen is the correct pronunciation, but I loved everything about the city. The organization was well-run, great people, great fans. The league was definitely different from Poland. Poland was very talented and so was Belgium, but Belgium was just very, very physical. When I got there, my vet, who was also a point guard combo, was Roel Moores, very physical, bulldog type of guard. He played until he was about 40 years old. And he really introduced me to the physical side of the game in Belgium. We started off very, very well. It was similar to Poland. We was, I think, 11-1 or 11-0 there also. Throughout the season, we had some injuries and a couple players exchanged the teams. And we had some rough times. I thought we could have, at that point when I was there, I thought we could have, you know, fought for a championship, but we ended up facing, I don't even know how many championships they won in a row, Oostende, and it was just too deep for us. We had a rotation of maybe 7 players, and they literally had 10 players deep. Nobody was more important than the other, and everybody stepped up to the table whenever they needed. So unfortunately we couldn't, you know, get it done, but Belgium was definitely one of my favorite places also.
So afterward, you end up in Romania and then Bulgaria for a bit. Those are two places that are generally seen as having competitive basketball.
Yes.
Tell us about your experiences in each of those countries, if you could.
Romania was definitely tougher than I thought. The level of basketball there is much higher than people think. It's a lot of Yugoslavians that come through there, and the Romanians, they are also good, but it's just a lot of Yugoslavians that play within the country. And that was another experience for me where we finished, I think, 2nd, and we got swept. The team was very talented. We just ran into a team that was hot at the time, clicking. They had underdog players who ended up having really good careers. Kendu Sykes, I still remember this guy. He just tore us apart that entire series. And Cluj, the team that I played for, they're a very well organization. It's a basketball city, very good team. I think recently they may be back-to-back champions, but it's between them and another team, Oradea, who's been winning championships just back-to-back-to-back. Bulgaria, another country that was solid. It was very top-heavy with the teams as far as the top 3 or 4 teams are really good. They play outside of the country, and the bottom teams are just not that good. I enjoyed my experience there. I loved my team. My teammates, they were all funny. The Americans, we clicked very well. And we also lost to the top team who ended up winning it. We won the cup there against the top team, which was huge for us. It was very huge. And there was another team that was just deep. They had a very deep team. And that was another team we had maybe 7 eight players max to play with, and they had our way with us in the playoff series.
So next stop for you is France, and you technically go to the second league in France, but that's one of the interesting things about overseas basketball is you learn pretty quickly that the second league in France is pretty much, you know, a really talented league. You're still getting paid really, really well, very professional and everything like that. Take us through your experience with playing in France.
Unbelievable experience. We started off because I went to a team who came up from the third division. So now this was their first year in Pro B. We started off the year, maybe it was either 0-9 or 1-10 maybe. And from there we won maybe 14 or it was either 14 out of 15 games or 15 out of 16 games. Eventually ended up being first seed, which was the crazy thing. And then we lost our power forward, who was the other American with me, who was huge for us because he was a stretch four, a vet for us. And I think between, it was crazy, first place and sixth place, it was a game, just one game between every team. And when he went down, we ended up going down to seventh place. And the last game, we had to win by a certain amount of points to get in the playoffs, and we didn't get in. So it was a very up and down season, but for sure the most athletic league I played in, very talented league, and it was a very interesting season there also.
So next up is Germany, and this is also another interesting experience. Start off in the second league, I believe, and then go into the first league for the second season. Can you tell us what that was like? And that's also another experience where you get to play with the same team. And sometimes, you know, when you're overseas, sometimes somebody is pivotal in getting a team from one league up to the next, and they may not necessarily return for the next one. So this is another unique experience for you that you're part of a second division team that makes its way up.
Yeah. And the second league of Germany was also another league that's underrated to be a second league. There's a lot of talented players in the league at that time. Also, at that point, I would say it was four or five really good teams in the second division that could have gone up. Fortunately, us and another team were the team that went up. Bonding-wise, I would probably say that was the closest team, bonding-wise, that I might have played for. I think that first year was four Americans, and we did everything together. And even the Germans were cool with us. And I think that was a huge reason why we won. And we were also an older team. So the experience played a part with why we won the championship there. And then going into the BBL, which everybody knows is a very, very tough league. It just wasn't fitting for us because in the BBL, you have teams who are filthy rich, have the money to get the big rosters, better team, whatever you want to call it. And they have youth and the talent. And we were just an older team. So we struggled a lot. There was so many games we were in. We fought. We was known to be a fighting team, even though we didn't do so well. But it was just the talent and the youth we've got to us. But it was a tough season, but that was definitely one of the teams that I enjoyed playing with the most in my career.
Yeah, and leagues that have pro rel, it's generally understood that a lot of the teams that ended up getting promoted get on this treadmill where they keep going back and forth for years and years and years for the same reason you talked about. They don't have the youth system. They don't have the financial capabilities that those teams that are able to stick into the biggest leagues have at their disposal.
And you know what's interesting? this says a lot about the coach and his system. It clearly showed that the year that I played in the BBL, it was the youth and the athleticism from our team. Because the following, I want to say 3 years, they were at the top of the league. The very top of the league in Germany. The COVID year, which was, I believe, the next season. Yeah. The COVID season when I went to Kormen in Hungary, they were at the top of the league. And they had the MVP in Dwayne Russell, who was there, who came my last year there. And they had a really good chance of fighting for the championship. I'm not sure if they would have won, but the next 3 years, they were very, very solid at the top of the league. So just, you got to tip your hat off to the coach and figuring out what he needed to be successful.
And so after your stint in Germany, you go to Hungary for 2 years, two different clubs.
Yeah.
You finish up most recently with a brief stint in Macedonia where you had some success. Talk to us about those two experiences as well.
The year in Hungary, that was a great year. I felt like I was robbed of a championship. We had the team to win. We came back from the break and we annihilated I think it was two or three games we played. We made one change in the team, which was, it was key. He was a shooter. He was more of a combo guard, and it was a change we needed. Even though I don't think, you know, it would have made a difference. I think the player we got rid of, we still could have won with him, but that change was just, it was key for us. And I felt like it was nothing any team was going to be able to do with us. And then COVID hit, you know, everybody goes home. And unfortunately, we couldn't redo that. I wish we could, but you know, it is what it is. And the next year, I go back to Hungary, but with Alba Fejervar, very talented team. I think that might have been the most talented team I've played with individually. Unfortunately, things didn't work out between myself and the coaches. When I left, we were in third place. I don't see what the issue was. They made it to be the issue with me with being in third place. I'm not sure what problem you could have being not maybe two games out of first place. It is what it is. And then I exchanged teams and went to Macedonia and went to MZT Skopje, which is traditionally the best team in Macedonia. Very talented team. They didn't even need me. My assistant coach when I was in Hungary for Kormen spoke about me to their team, and they needed a point guard to just, you know, help make their team better because their issue was they weren't sharing the ball. And once I came there, you know, started to click, the team started to play better together. And I went there, we won the cup. And unfortunately, I had to come home due to family issues. And they still ended up winning the championship, but I was thankful enough to win the cup with them. So it was an experience this year. Very different type of year.
Yeah, so, I mean, on the one hand, it's, you know, take a little bit of solace in the fact that it's been a challenging year plus for just about everybody, and also the other thing for you specifically, you know, being in the situation where there's a team that all of a sudden has an issue with you, that's also not the first time either, probably also not the last time either.
I still to this day, I worked out with one of my teammates this morning and we spoke about how crazy it was, and it was clearly, this is where I'll say, look, I'll speak on this note, it clearly wasn't the players at all. When I left, we was the third seed. They brought in two players. One player they brought in while I was there, he was, you know, a three-man. And then when I left, they brought in another point guard. And they went from third place to I think, fifth or sixth place and lost in the first round. It clearly was not me. If it was me, I would be honest and say so, but it clearly wasn't me. And it's understandable. That's how the game is. You know, sometimes it can be cutthroat. There's reasonings for everything. And, you know, I'm not mad at that. It is what it is. I left and, you know, became a champion and with another team. So I'm fortunate for that. And, you know, it's no love lost.
Yeah.
So what does the future hold for you?
I'm not sure yet. Right now, I'm still waiting on a contract and, you know, to see if it's going to come. And, after this year, the COVID year where everything was stopped, mentally, it kind of put me in a place where, you know, I'm almost ready for it to be over. I have a four-year-old son who will be five in September, and it's hard being away from him. With the COVID year, man, it was so hard with him not being able to visit. And, you know, just everything with basketball that went on, switching teams, with that being my first time switching teams, it was a lot for me mentally. So, you know, at this point, I'm always staying prepared to go back. I would love to play, you know, one or two more years, but I'm also preparing for life after basketball. So I'm enjoying life with my family so much right now that if it doesn't happen, you know, I'll be content. I'll be content with, you know, what's next for me.
Thanks for listening to our interview with Frank Turner, and good luck to him as he looks to continue his overseas career post-COVID. A reminder, you can find more of our content on our YouTube channel, so like our videos and subscribe to be notified when new content is available. Follow us on socials like Instagram, Facebook, and especially Twitter, where we keep up with all our friends of the pod. Please also consider subscribing to our Patreon to help us bring you new and interesting content. For Tony Budney, I'm Andy Hoverman. Tune in next time on Expat Hoops.